Hey, it's good to be home. You know, when we first moved here from California, this is the first church we pastored at, and in the 80s, it's been a long time. When I was telling you in the earlier service, when I first came, this church was primarily a Caucasian church. One of the first things we began to do was begin international dinners and luncheons and really embrace the multicultural aspect that was coming into the Silver Spring, Washington, D.C. area. And I just am just thrilled to see that that is continuing on. Amen? And God continues to bless in that ministry as we were called a little bit into the inner city to begin that. Not going to talk a lot about our church. We did the last time and we had some testimonies come, but one of the visions of our church and the desires of our church are to reach those that are lost, and primarily those that are lost in false religions and false teachings, and we want to just bring them out of that and bring them into the body of Christ. Amen? And that's our desire for the lost. And the only reason that is able to happen is because of the Lamb of Glory, because the sacrifice of the Lamb of Glory, that all people can come to the Lord Jesus Christ through the blood of Jesus. I want to sing a song entitled The Lamb of Glory, that we just can remember the blessed Savior who has brought us all to where we are today in Jesus Christ. Amen.
The story from God's word, kings and priests and prophets heard, there would be a sacrifice, the blood would flow to pay. Precious Lamb of Glory, love's most wondrous story, heart of God's redemption of man, worship the Lamb of glory. On the cross, God loved the world, while all the powers of hell were hurled. No one there could understand the one they saw was Christ the Lamb, precious Lamb of glory, love's most wondrous of God's redemption of man. Glory to the Lamb, pure as snow I stand, worshiping the Lamb of glory. With the saints I will stand in eternity, giving praise to the Lamb of glory. Precious Lamb of glory, love's most wondrous story. Oh, worshiping the Lamb.
Hallelujah. Glory to the Lamb. Glory to the Lamb of glory. Hallelujah. 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 Bless you, Lord. Go ahead and grab your Bibles. We're going to jump right into the Word. Turn with me in the chapter 15 of Luke, beginning at verse 1. Luke chapter 15, beginning at verse 1. Love to hear those pages turning. Amen. Luke chapter 1, chapter 15, verse 1. It says, "And then drew near unto him all the publicans and the sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. And he spake this parable unto them, saying, What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he hath found it, he lay it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. And I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinneth that repenteth, for thou over the 99 just persons which need no repentance." Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this word. We thank you for the truth in the heart of God, Lord, that we can sense in this passage. Lord, we ask you now to bless it in Jesus' precious name. And everybody said, amen. Some things go without saying, amen? And some things you have to repeat and repeat. There was a pet owner, and he owned a store and trying to drum up some business, so he had a talking parrot, and he put it out on the sidewalk on one of those pedestals, and the bird would talk to people as it come by. And this one lady came walking down the street, and as she passed by the parrot, as she just passed, he goes, "Hey, lady." And she turned around, and the parrot said to her, "You're ugly, and so is your dress." Well, the lady wasn't thrilled, as you can imagine, but she continued on her way. The next day, she walks past on her way to work again, and the parrot's out there again. And as she walks past and goes by him, he goes, "Hey, lady." And she turns around. He goes, "You're ugly, and so is your dress." Well, she was a little upset, as you can imagine. So she went into the owner of the pet store, and she says, "You know, you got this parrot out, and he's mocking me and making fun of me and saying mean things to me. And, you know, I'm going to sue you if you don't shut that parrot up." So the owner of the store took the parrot in that night and told him, he goes, "Listen," he goes, "you can't be talking like that. You can't be saying those things. If you say that one more time, I'm going to put you in the oven and have you for my dinner." Well, the next day, the parrot's out there again, and the lady walks by, and nothing. Continues to walk. She turns around, and she goes, "Well?" The parrot goes, "You know what?" Some things go without saying, amen? But other things need to be repeated. And here in this passage, we have Jesus repeating. You know, often Jesus would say, verily, 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 which basically means truly, truly, truly. And anytime God says things three times, I want you to take note of that. Make sure that God is trying to emphasize something. He's trying to tell you something. He repeats the same word or the same story three times. And here in Luke, we see that happening because we have Jesus talking about first the lost coin. And then he talks about the lost son. And then he talks about the lost sheep. So this tells me that this is important to God, to the heart of God, and should be also important to us. Can you say amen? Well, the first thing we find is a painful discovery. Verse 4 says, one is lost. Even though he had 99, that one was just as precious and was just as lost. And if you've ever lost anything really precious, and maybe even a job or a house or whatever, or more importantly, maybe even a child. You know, one time we went to New York as a family, and we went to see the Thanksgiving Day Parade, which is held typically in November around Thanksgiving, and it's cold. And so we had gotten our room, and we got out of there early and went down to Broadway where we knew the floats would be coming by. And it was me and my wife and our three children. They were young at the time, and our youngest, Aaron, who's here today, he was probably about 8 years old then. And as he was 8 years old, we were excited about the parade, and we watched the parade, and it was dark when we went out there to get our place along the path, and it was cold, and the sun was just coming up, but, you know, as the day warmed up and the parade began, we enjoyed the floats, the giant balloon floats as they were coming down Broadway, and we just clapped and cheered and was enjoying it so much, and then the last thing, of course, on the float is the Santa Claus, and he came down, and my little one was so excited to see Santa, and as soon as Santa went by, the parade knew that it was time for it to be over, and all of a sudden, tens of hundreds of thousands of people were going every direction there in New York City, and I looked at my wife, and she looked at me, and she goes, "Where's Aaron?" And I looked at her, I go, "I thought you had him," and of course, she thought I had him. And we began to panic, as you can well imagine. So we began to look around and ask people there in the crowd, and no one seemed to know anything. And so she began to panic, and I thought, well, he's probably chasing Santa Claus because he loves Santa Claus. So I'm running down Broadway following this float, and the policemen halt me because they don't know what's going on. And they go, "You can't be chasing Santa Claus, mister." And I'm thinking, well, that's where he's probably at. But my wife is back up there up a couple blocks away now, and she has told, you know, everyone around. And finally, she grabbed a policeman, and she began to give a description. She goes, "Well, he's about this tall, and he has blonde hair and glasses," and began to describe him. And when I finally got back up after there was a call down to where I was by the float, they said, "We found him." And so finally, with a sigh of relief, I ran back up to where my family was, and there they stood. And, you know, I said, "Where was he? Where did he go?" And she goes, "Well, I was describing his, you know, characteristics to this policeman here. And as I was describing, this lady standing beside me and said, 'Is that him in the store window behind us?'" Because what had happened, the day had warmed up and the sun came up and the stores now were open. And he figured, hey, it's cold out here, but it's warm inside. And we had always taught our children, make sure that you can always see us or we can always see you. And he wasn't really lost because he could see us the whole time going mayhem out there up and down the street running around, you know, because he didn't feel lost at all. A couple of years later, we're going to jump forward. New York City again. You'd think, why would you ever go back? But we did, and we are in Times Square now, and there's a whole bunch of us there, my oldest son and my daughter, and we're all there, the whole family, and enjoying Times Square and looking at the gigantic big lights that they have there and the big screens that are just filling all of Times Square, 50-foot screens of all types of advertisements. And we're there, and we're looking around, and we're enjoying it, and all of a sudden we realize, uh-oh, Aaron's gone again. So we begin to look around and couldn't find him. And again, my wife begins to panic, as you can imagine. And again, she grabs a policeman and begins to describe him. And there's, again, not the same lady, but another lady listening to the description. And she's, again, hearing all about what he looks like and his characteristics. And all of a sudden, she taps my wife on the shoulder and goes, is that him on that giant 50-foot screen? He had gone into one of the stores where they'll take your picture and broadcast it and post it up on one of those giant screens in Times Square. His thought is, hey, they can see me. I'm not lost. But to lose a child is very, very disheartening, regardless if you find them back again. So we did so. But to be truly lost, first you have to be lost from someone or someplace. In other words, you've had to belong to someone or someplace to be lost from them. See, the lost sheep belonged to the shepherd. Now, when the sheep strayed away from the shepherd, he became lost, lost to himself and to the shepherd. Now, if you don't belong to anybody, or you don't belong anywhere, you'll never truly lost. You're just wandering. And that's what this sheep had done until finally, you know, he came to a point that he was wandering and wandering. And sometimes if you don't belong any place or anywhere, all you're doing through life is just wandering. You know, the trip we took when we arrived here from California, we went down to all the monuments and all the tours and did all that, of course. And, you know, someone says, you need to take your family down to Roosevelt Island, down, you know, near the monuments and all of that. You just drive down the parkway, take one of the bridges, go over. There's a parking lot, and it says on the sign when you pull in, it says, you know, park closes at dusk. And so you walk over this bridge, and then you're on what is Roosevelt Island, a small island right down in the heart of D.C. And so we went there. We began to take some of the paths, and there was many paths going all throughout the island. We were just having a great day. It was a great fall day. And my family, we were enjoying the sun and the breeze and just going from path to path to path. And we were just loving the day. And finally, as a couple hours there, there was a guy that was coming this way from the path, heading the other direction what we were going. He kind of looked at me and he curiously said, do you know how to get back to the parking lot? I go, sure. He goes, well, you know, it's starting to get dark. And I go, yeah, okay, thanks, man. And continued to walk and went about another 100 yards. And my wife looked at me and says, you don't know how to get back to the parking lot, do you? I said, no, I don't. Realizing at that moment that I was lost. Because what lost is being somewhere and wanting to get to somewhere else and not knowing how to get there. And that's what I realized. It was, you know, that, and it kind of stuck in my heart and my sound and mind that this guy says it is getting lost. And the Bible says, like, all we like sheep have gone astray, each one of us on our own way. All we like sheep have gone astray. You know, we all belong to God. God created us. And because we all belong to him, God created, he put his image on us. The Bible says that we are created in his image, and he made us, and different than all the other species or all the other creation that he made, he put his image on us. And that's how we know that we're his, because his signature is upon us. You know, when Jesus, and they said about giving money to Caesar, he goes, well, give me a coin. And he looked at the coin. He goes, whose picture is on that coin? They go, well, Caesar. He goes, well, give to Caesar what is his. But give to God what is his. Amen? And since we're made in God's image, and God has made us and created us and named us, that says and signifies that we belong to him. You know, when you do any type of work, like a painting or a drawing or anything like that, at the bottom of it, you have the privilege of signing it and naming that painting what you want to name it. A sunset, a tree, you get the privilege of naming it. Why? Because you created it. You made it. And the same thing with God. He has named us and he has put a seal upon us to show and signify that we belong to him. Ownership, the name declares ownership. You know, the Bible tells us in Revelations chapter 2, verse 17, that when we get to heaven, God's going to give us a white stone, and upon it is going to be our new name. You mean that when I get there, there'll be a little stone, it'll say Tom on it? No, that's the name my parents gave me. They didn't know me. They helped to bring me into the earth. But God owns me. God created me and everyone. And it says that he will give you a name, and that name may be a different name than what you had here on earth, because God gave you that name because you belong to him. And that will be your name for eternity. And so as God has called us that, the shepherd knew right away that the sheep was lost, but the sheep didn't realize he was lost until he wanted to get back home. Up until now, he was just wandering. You know, there are many people on planet Earth right now, they're doing nothing more than wandering. They don't know where they belong. They don't realize that they are lost from God and from heaven. And until they decide that they want to get to heaven, and then they realize that they don't know how. See, getting lost and discovering that I'm not where I want to be. I want to go someplace else. And those who don't know and finally come to a realization, maybe before they get tired of wandering in this world, they get needs and they get hurt in this world, and they realize they want to go somewhere else. They want to make it to heaven someday. Something's got to be better than this. And they decide they want to get to heaven, but they don't know how to get there. Now, there are others who are happy to just wander. You know them. I know them. They're just enjoying life. They're going through life day to day the same. They're just having a great time. They're having a fun time. They don't think about ever wanting to go anywhere else. You know, but it wasn't until I realized that day that, you know, that I wanted to get from where I was to where I wanted to be that I was lost. And all of a sudden, as I'm walking down that path, and we're having a great family day, a great time, this guy decides to interrupt my wonderful day and say, "Do you know how to get back to the parking lot?" Why? Because it's getting dark. What was he thinking? I'm having a great day. He interrupts my beautiful day, my beautiful family day, by putting his concern on my concern. So all of a sudden, his concern becomes my concern. My concern becomes my family's concern. So I've got to realize that my day is interrupted because, you know, some guy decided that he's going to challenge me or ask me a question that I don't have the answer to. You know, when I first came to Jesus back in California, really began to want to minister, and where we used to go out, and we were, the Bible says that it's basically zealousness without wisdom. We're going to win everybody to the Lord no matter what it took, no matter what we had to do, you know. He had like t-shirts that said turn or burn, you know what I mean? Not very compassionate, right, you know, but kind of want to hit the point, you know, club them, you know, if this is what they need, you know. Kind of judgmental is what it is, you know. But we as a church need not to be judgmental, amen? That we need to have compassion and love and concern for those that are lost, and speak to them with some dignity and some understanding in a way that they may feel, you know, the need to be found, the need to change where they're at. There was a guy and his wife had gone on a business trip across the country, and he was left at home to watch the dog. And the dog was, you know, just the love of this woman's life. And every day she called to check on the dog. And one day she called while she was away, and she goes, "Well, how's the dog?" And he says, "The dog is dead." She goes, "What?" He goes, "Yeah, the dog is dead." She goes, "You can't just blurt that out, say that the dog is dead." She goes, "You got to be more compassionate. You've got to show a little more tenderness when you tell somebody traumatic news like that." She said, "You know, you got to like ease them into it. Say something like, well, the dog somehow got up on the roof. And somehow the dog fell off. And, you know, we called 911 and they came and they tried to respirate the dog and get the dog back. But after a couple hours, the dog finally just died." She goes, "By the way, how's my mother?" He goes, "Well, Somehow she got up on the roof. But the point is, we need to be compassionate to those that are lost. Amen? One, because we were all lost too. Amen? With the same compassion that someone showed us, or the Lord showed us. Verse 4. He goes after the lost until he finds him. The key word there is until. Everybody say until. You know, when Churchill was asked when the World War II, Winston Churchill, about how long are we going to fight this war? How long are we going to fight this battle? Churchill's words were, until victory is won. Until victory is won. That means there's no giving up. And Jesus also is just as determined to find every one of his sheep. Everyone that belongs to him who has not yet been accounted for. How many know what a bench warrant is? You don't have to raise your hand because you know personally. Trust me, there are people maybe sitting beside you who have had a bench warrant in church. Amen? You know, when we were in California, we used to work in different areas, and sometimes we would work down where in West LA, where a lot of the gangs and stuff were. And one of the biggest hallelujahs I got from our church choir was when I told them they could get community service hours for being in the choir. Tough place, amen? But the thing is that a bench warrant, for those who may not know, a bench warrant is something that is issued by the judge. In other words, you are given a time and a date to show up at court. And if you don't show up at that time and that date and stand before that judge, he will issue what they call a bench warrant. And that means if you don't come to me, we're going to come and get you and bring you to me. And it says that's what a bench warrant is. If you don't go, they'll send the police out, capture you, bring you back before that judge, you may stand trial. The Bible, Jesus says, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. Every knee shall bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord. Everyone will be accounted for. Everyone will say that Jesus is Lord. Now, you can do that on this side of eternity and reap the benefits of God's loves and God's provisions in the eternal life through Jesus Christ. Or you can bow your knee and confess him as Lord and Savior on the other side of eternity and then be separated from God forever and ever. And everything you knew that was love and life and an eternal damnation separate from God. God gives us that decision. God made that possible for us through Jesus Christ. Until every soul is accounted for. And then lastly, a joyful finding, verse 5. And when he finds the sheep, he joyfully puts it on his shoulder. What a wonderful time for the sheep and the shepherd. When they found each other, who do you think was more excited? The sheep to find the shepherd or the shepherd to find the sheep? Do you remember what it was like when you found Jesus Christ? When Jesus Christ called you and you came, and how a wonderful experience that was that has changed and transformed your life forever and ever. What a joyful occasion that was when you finally were reunited with the one that you were lost from for all those years. We just got back from the beach yesterday, as a matter of fact, and made me think about an event that happened several years ago, many years ago. We were at the beach, same place, and we were out on the beach, and my family was there, and, you know, it was a hot day, a beautiful day, cloudless blue sky, beautiful Sunday, and we were just there on the beach laying, you know, and enjoying the wave and the surf, And, you know, my family said, well, we're going to go back and get some showers and get ready for dinner and head on back to the hotel. And I said, okay, we're going ahead. I'm just going to relax here for a little bit and enjoy a little bit more of the day. And beside me, on the blanket next to me, was a young lady and her little girl. And the little girl I took note of because she was digging in the sand. She kept throwing sand on me the whole time I was trying to relax. Like, that's okay, you know. And I'm enjoying it, you know. And finally, I kind of doze off. I'm about half asleep. And all of a sudden, I'm shaking. And I look up, and it's this young girl, this young woman. She goes, did you see my daughter? Did you see which way she went? I said, no, I remember. I know what she looked like, kind of, and her age, but I didn't see which way she went. And she, all of a sudden, she just puts her foot down, and she begins to pivot. And she goes, Chrissy, Chrissy, Chrissy. Chrissy, every direction, looking, not even know which way to go, that she may turn and see her, and she didn't. And all of a sudden, her concern became my concern. Because the next thing I'm doing, I'm yelling, Chrissy, Chrissy, and I'm yelling out also. And it didn't take more than a couple minutes to everybody on that beach in the same circles that we were began to yell, Chrissy, and looking around and wandering around, and the volleyball stopped playing, and the beach ball stopped playing, and the radios were shut off, and everyone was looking for Chrissy, and her concern became my concern, it became their concern. And finally, she grabbed the lifeguard, and the lifeguard, you know, began to get on his radio and talk and back and forth, and she just didn't seem to be found anywhere. And I knew what was next because I'd been to lakes, and I'd been to places where sometimes you'll have you, and they'll have you join hands, and you'll walk together as a string of people and begin to kick up the sand and the water in the shallow in case you come across the body. And I felt the dread of that. And that beautiful day, even though it was still sunny, even though it was still a beautiful day, it became very dark. It became dark because of the atmosphere and the thickness of the concern and the thickness of the fear and the dread just took over that whole beach. And that darkness was approaching, and we could feel that darkness. And all of a sudden, you know, we began to just... And there came a broadcast over the walkie-talkie from the one radio down from the lifeguard a couple hundred yards away at his tower to ours. And the lifeguard said from the other tower, he said, we have a little girl down here who has lost her mother. And we just rejoiced. We began almost to just celebrate right there. And all of a sudden, the mother began to make her way down that beach towards her daughter. And of course, man, we just followed suit. Our whole beach was moving along with her, right? And down at the other end of the beach, here comes this little girl, and she's in the arms of this lifeguard, and he's carrying her, and there's a whole crowd behind them coming down this way. And as they were coming together, she spotted her mother. And as soon as she did, she broke out of that lifeguard's arms and jumped down on the sand and began to run at full speed. It was what we used to call a Kodak moment. Now it's probably an Instagram moment. They were just like making their way towards each other. You know, nothing was going to stop them, you know, as they made their way. And finally, they embraced and they hugged like they probably had never hugged before. And I don't know who was more excited, the little girl to see her mother or the mother to see her little girl. Verse 7, and we all broke into applause. I tell you, it'll be the same in heaven, and all of heaven will rejoice when one sinner turns away from sin and comes home. Stand with me. All of heaven will rejoice. You know, if the Redskins throw 100 touchdown passes every game this season, heaven will not rejoice. If the Nationals win the pennant this summer, guess what? Heaven will not rejoice. But if you bring one sinner back to God that belongs to him, and we all belong to him, all of heaven will rejoice. Hallelujah. I'm going to challenge you today. You know, Abraham Lincoln, when he was here in Washington, he used to go to the church down there and sit on the side because he wouldn't want to disturb the service. And he'd listen to the pastor preaching. And the pastor would preach, and a very good orator of the word, of course. And afterwards, he would go back over to Lincoln, and he'd go, well, how'd it do? How was it? And Lincoln goes, it was good. But you didn't challenge anybody. You got to challenge everybody. I'm going to challenge you this afternoon. And the word is until. That's the word. I'm going to challenge you to pray for somebody, speak to somebody in love and in kindness and in compassion until they come to church with you, until they pray a sinner's prayer with you, until you know that they have come into the kingdom of God. And guess what? Every one of you knows somebody like that. They may be in your house, they may be your neighbor, they may be at work, they may be on the bus stop, they may be anywhere, but until you can do that. And if you can't get them here and you can't convince them, I want you to pray until they change. Amen? Come on. I want you to come. I want to pray. Pastor Ricky, would you come? We're going to pray for people this afternoon that until that begins to happen in that person's life, you're going to do it. Amen? Come on. Everybody knows somebody. I want you to make your way. We want to pray for you that you will continue to minister the word of God to somebody. You will continue to pray for somebody. You will continue to beg, borrow, and plead to get them here to a church, to an opportunity for you to share the word of God with them. Because you know they're lost. And I got to tell you, it is getting darker. You know, we just had this whole thing this past week, not only in Charlottesville, this whole thing of the darkness creeping in upon us through this nuclear holocaust that they're talking about, that, you know, the days are numbered. God says if he doesn't cut them short, we would destroy ourselves. God is bringing the darkness to us because it's an alarm, it's an opportunity for us to win some more to Christ. Amen? You know, the population continues to explode. You know, if I was going to go fishing, I would go fishing when the most fish are able to be caught. And this world is at a place now where I believe there are more people living right now in 2017 and this year that we are living right now on planet Earth that have probably lived here in all the years that man has been here, accumulative, beginning to blossom. And I believe God says that there's going to be a great revival. There is a great coming of the Spirit of God that will pour out and bring people to Christ who never came before. And guess what? He's going to do it with you. Amen? And you. He's going to give you a word. He's going to give you compassion to pray and to seek and to bring them until they come. It may be in your household, like I said. It may be in your neighbor. It may be at work. But I want you to pray for somebody right now. Begin right now. Take that person's name. And I want you to begin to believe until they come to Christ. You're not going to stop. You're not going to stop convincing them, showing them, loving them, bringing them, praying for them with everything you've got. And we want to believe for that today. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for each and every one. Lord, we just believe, Lord, for the hope, Lord, that rests inside of these vessels, Lord. Lord, you brought them to Christ that they may bring somebody else. Lord, that name, Lord, let it be upon their, embedded upon their soul. Lord, begin to do that work right now, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Lord, give them fearlessness, Lord, to do what you've called them to do and to be. Lord, to be an orator of the word of God, to walk it out. Lord, in the precious name of Jesus, we thank you for it, Lord. Lord, begin to strengthen them. Give them the ability by the Holy Spirit, Lord, to give the words, Lord, that you would have for them, to bring them, Lord. Touch them, Lord. Heal them, Lord. Whatever it needs, Lord, to bring them to Christ. We trust, Lord, it is happening, Lord, right now in the precious name of Jesus. We believe, Lord. We believe for the hope that is in the name of Jesus. We believe, Lord, for the power that is in the name of Jesus right now, Lord. Let's speak out that name right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, call out that name to heaven that the angels may again encircle and encamp them, Lord. Keep them, Lord, that they may come until they come to Christ. Keep them in your hedge of protection, Lord, until they come to Christ, Lord. Lord, until there is that day of reckoning, Lord, with you, that day of rejoicing, that day of reunion, Lord, that day that you have just set aside for them to come to God. We thank you for it. Lord, we hope for it. We hold on to it, Lord. Hallelujah. Bless you, Lord. Bless you, Lord. We believe you, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Bless you, Lord.
Amen. Amen. Can we just thank Pastor Tom this morning for the word that was shared? Listen, Katie's going to be playing here. If you still want to pray and intercede at this altar or in this sanctuary, you can do so. In just a moment, we'll ask that if you're leaving, that you would leave quietly and take your conversations outside of the sanctuary, just to be respectful to the people that the word is still spoken to them. But I share this in the first service. I want to share with you, listen, you don't have to be a pastor. You don't have to be an evangelist. You don't have to lead a Sunday school to speak to somebody about Jesus. God has you exactly where he wants you in this moment in time and in the setting in your workplace and your family for a reason. Everybody can share with somebody. It doesn't take much to show compassion. It doesn't show much to have a conversation. It doesn't take much. It just takes a willingness and an availability. I remember driving to work when I was in college working at Buffalo Wild Wings. And if you're working at Buffalo Wild Wings, you're probably thinking, this probably isn't worth much. It's probably not meaningful. Smelling like chicken grease and college budget all day. But I remember driving and I was just saying, Lord, allow me the opportunity to share your love with somebody today. Because it just felt like I was going in and out of work all the time. And I prayed that prayer on my way to work. And I remember being on the way to work, and it was a young girl who had gotten pregnant out of wedlock, and she was just in a situation where she didn't understand. And I remember us sitting down after work talking, and she was just sharing her heart, and I got to share with her the love of Jesus, and she said, I want that. Listen, it doesn't take much for you to be there in the midst of someone's hurting. Let's not turn a blind eye. Let's share the love of Jesus with those that we come in contact with. Amen? It doesn't take much. It just takes Jesus. God bless you as you go this morning. If you're still praying or interceding this morning, we want to leave it available to you. But God bless you and share until. Amen?